You're listening to Around Comics, episode 136.
Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic book roundtable, where twice a week you'll hear a revolving panel of guests discuss comic books and graphic novels. Every Monday episode, just like this one, we go over the weekend comics news, review our favorite books from the previous week in Top of the Stack, and take a look at what's coming up in this week in Future Stacks. I'm Christopher Niesman, and let me introduce you to the rest of today's panel. Mr. Tom Caters.
Boo!
It's not Halloween yet, Tom.
You're a month early.
I was booing like as the Europeans would whistle at somebody if they disapproved of them, as they do at soccer matches, I think.
Well, you didn't like green intro?
What was that?
You're a Green Street hooligan.
I know, I don't like me.
He's booing himself.
Yeah, I'm booing myself. My performance will be poor.
Mr. Scotty Young, how you doing, sir?
Good, I've sold out.
You, every month, baby, sell out every month.
I've sold out.
Oh, you're a sellout.
I am a sellout.
Oh, you're a sellout.
Mm-hmm. Poser. I've quit drawing comics.
What are you doing?
Check out at Walmart. Checkout counter.
Is it fulfilling?
Awesome.
Yeah,
the discount.
The discount
the
is
fucking 12% discount. Sweet.
I went with Scotty to a mom and pop shop, and he smashed the counter like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence and Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
I was like, freaked out and was like,
go to Walmart.
Yeah. And I had Tom take my camera phone and run around in a circle.
While you were doing it?
But slow.
From below. From
yeah,
low
from below,
shot.
But really slow, and said, Tom, run around me very slow with my camera phone while I smash this counter.
Did you have a smoke machine and some doves?
Doves. Oh, I knew I should have brought the doves.
Where the floor is wet.
Damn it. Yes. I did I did get Aerosmith, though.
To play a,
to play a tune.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. All right.
And Tom Sweet. Cried and touched the register.
Why? Yeah. Why do we do that?
I don't want to hold my eye. That's a...
Okay. Oh, I love that song.
Mr. Brian Salazar, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm not a sellout. I'm keeping it real, baby.
Only because no
real
one's buying.
Real stupid. Yeah, exactly. No one's buying it, so I can't sell out what nobody wants.
I'm ready to sell out.
We strive to be sellouts. Yeah. One day we'll be like you.
If I had anything anyone wanted.
All right, well, I want to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is brought to you by Borders.
Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
Are there any other graphic novels?
I don't think so. It's the only one.
I'm getting ready to buy this.
Yeah. We figure if we pound it home enough.
Yeah, I need to send out an email to our friends at Borders this week. It's like, maybe. Please, anything.
We should put a disclaimer, though, that you shouldn't go to Borders and actually try to eat.
It is not actually tasty.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you tried?
Huh?
Have you tried?
Of course.
It's printed with
I had a Euro cheeseburger, and I tried to chase it off with a
little guilty
tray.
In my mind, guilty pleasures.
When I think of, and I'm sure this is 100% wrong, but when I think of people reading Anita Blake, I think of like goths, and I think of people who don't eat anyway.
They don't eat anything.
Maybe the tasty thing isn't like the best way to get it across. The darkest.
The darkest. The evilest.
I'm sure there's somebody, I'm sure now someone would be like, I'm married and have children, and I read Anita Blake. Sorry.
But secretly at night when they go to bed, they paint their fingernails black.
Oh,
yeah, well, speaking of evil, Around Comics is recorded every Friday at 7 o'clock at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles.
Wouldn't that have been speaking of dark?
Dark, yes.
Not
dark.
Evil.
Thank you. Thanks for picking
You're fired,
me
up. You're fired, dude.
I'm out. I'm so done. Located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago.
Chicago.
If you're in the area, please drop by. We would love to meet you.
Sure.
Actually, had a... What was
we had
that
a guest today.
Go to the website. I just want to hear
refer him to the www.
Is it Dark Tower?
I don't know.
Comics.
I don't go there.
What's your address?
DarkTowerComics.net.
www.darktowercomics.net.
Scotty's on a new diet and he's about to pass out.
Yeah. Well, speaking of people,
his blood sugar
is low. The comic news next week. Scotty Young dies while on diet.
Jesus.
Oh, he's fine. It was just too many cigarettes and not enough breakfast. Speaking of, I've dropped by Jeffrey Brown.
He's so thin, he looks like a goth now.
Look at him gnawing on that copy of the Anita Blake book. What's wrong,
zombies
Scotty?
Are in right now.
Yeah, they are.
But speaking of dropping by, Jeffrey Brown
Jeffrey
was just in here.
And gave us a little mini comic that he created back in 2004. Nice little Wolverine story he did.
Wolverine parody.
Very funny.
Yes. He said, I'm not selling this.
I can't sell it.
Just giving it away.
Just giving it away.
But he's got some fun stuff coming up next week. I think we talked with him in Chicago. He's got the MMA book that he's working on.
You know, I forgot to mention to him that Illinois was just sanctioned for Ultimate Fighting. Bouts to be held in Illinois. They're going
to
look at like Allstate Arena.
You
so I'm going
to drive to Wisconsin
or Indiana. Yeah. I'm going to take Jeffrey to a Ultimate Fighter thing. Ultimate, what is it? UFC?
UFC.
You tell me.
I don't know.
Just bring him over to the house. I'll beat his ass in the backyard.
I don't know. Jeffrey, he's kind of got those wild eyes.
I hit people with shit, like boards with nails in them.
You got him laying around just in case.
I'm like trash, motherfucker.
I'd be careful fighting Jeffrey Brown because he'd write like a graphic novel about you beating him. But he'd make you look like a real asshole.
He would vilify you so bad.
I'd be like McFly or, no, what's that? Biff or
Biff. Yeah. I've been
yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you what. Let's go ahead and get through our quite frankly paltry amount of news. It's gonna go by pretty.
Sell
yeah.
it hard.
There you go. Here it comes, folks.
Watch out now.
It's time for Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
Wire to Wire Comic Book News.
All right. Right off the top here, 24-hour comic book day.
Just a little off the side.
I'm just kidding.
Off the top and to the side.
I was kidding. Left to center. The 24-hour comics day is coming on October 20th. If you're not familiar, every year there is a day that different venues will put together and people will play along at home. And the goal is to complete a full comic in 24 hours and then it's submitted to be...
Laughed at!
No, there's some really good stuff that comes out of this, but you have 24 hours to basically write pencil and ink a complete comic.
Yeah. Every person does their own comic?
Yes.
Complete comic.
These are fucking masochists.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I went over last year BuyMeToys.com is a store over in South Bend, Indiana, and they host it every year. I dropped by for about an hour or so before MARTA was like, get me the hell out of here. But they had like 20 people, and I think of the 20 they had... I want to say they had like six or seven people that actually completed their comic and sent it off. And there was some really cool stuff.
Jim Lee finally finished his.
Oh!
Yeah!
Oh! Zing!
It's a wild storm.
I feel really bad because I can't think of his
Andy
name.
Andy Jewett?
I couldn't think of his name.
Yeah, Andy and his whole troop of buddies over in South Bend do it every year. There are, so far, 67 official locations spanning 13 countries with more to come. If you want to get the whole lowdown on what the 24-hour comic book day is and if there is a venue in your area, and I would definitely suggest if there is one, just go by for an hour or two. It's a lot of fun to watch these people, you know, freaking out.
There was a place down the street from me that had a sign the night of it that said 24-hour comic day, and I almost went inside. But then I thought, I don't know these people. And they just have it could be a guy with like a meat hook on the other side of the door just waiting for some nerd to come in.
24-hour
comic. So I decided not to. But
well,
I'm a comic.
Well, if you want to prepare yourself for that 24-hour comic day, you could. A couple weeks before that is going to be the 24-hour podcast.
All for Squeedo.
Oh
Is Crank in the house?
I don't know. He was here.
He
Crank was here.
For a smoke.
Okay, we'll have Crank come back and
talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, go to 24-hour, that's 24hourcomics.com, and that'll give you the whole lowdown
on
it.
So it's T-W-O.
No, it's 24.
The number 2.
Numerical.
The number 4.
Yeah, 24hourcomics.com. It's a lot of fun, so.
Well, we haven't done it yet. We don't know if it's fun.
Well, the previous ones were fun.
The 24-hour
comics. Oh, the 24-hour comics.
No, the 24-hour podcast is going to be hell.
That'll be fun.
Ha-ha! I'm sure it'll be awesome.
Ha-ha!
All right, next story here is kind of disturbing. It's about a teacher that had...
Dumbass.
A teacher in, it looks like, New Haven, or actually Guilford, assigned a 14-year-old student to do a book report on the Dan Klaus book, 8 Ball Number 22, and after being relieved of his teaching duties and suspended...
Well, he resigned.
And then he resigned. But
can't fire me, I quit.
I think it took a lot of heat off the school for him to resign. But it kind of comes... I think the subject that we want to talk about is, is it appropriate to give... high school age, especially young high schoolers.
She's a freshman.
Yeah, this 14-year-old girl. And Dan Klaus can write some good stuff. I like
but
Dan Klaus.
But it's an adult
stuff, but it's
book.
Adult.
I mean, there's plenty of adult material in it. And I just don't think giving it to a 13 or 14-year-old girl.
Plus, it's not part of the curriculum.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's the weird thing.
Student,
it was like...
What teacher gives one student, this book specifically for... I want you to read this book and write me a book report. That's the weird part, because, I've seen a lot of people sort of compare it to when that library took blankets out. But, I mean, a teacher giving a book to someone and a library having a book available... two different things going on.
Does anybody know what the actual issue that was given? Has anybody here read it?
No,
or looked at it?
I've read 8 Ball before, but
I've read 8 Ball. I don't think I've read that issue.
I think porn kicks ass.
Yeah,
for an adult.
Well, if you're 14, find your own.
When I was a freshman, I loved porn.
Yeah.
Your teacher
gave it to you to write a book report. Right.
But even from a parent perspective, if I had a 14-year-old daughter, that I don't care if she's mature enough to handle the material.
Well, it's not the teacher's decision.
It's not exactly his place.
I'd like to see. I guess before I would even have an opinion, I would actually like. I mean, obviously, if it was super super hardcore, of course. But I'd like to see.
I think the
actual material. That was given. Like, that issue alone, what was in that issue?
Is it over here?
Let's see. It did say... I thought there was a list on here. But the people that reported, the people from the school were calling it borderline pornography, and I don't know that it was that.
It references rape, various sex acts,
nudity,
murder, and so...
I still am freaked out.
They talk about rape on My Name is Earl. I mean, I'm just saying, I'd like to know...
There's a difference with that, though, too.
That's not an educational environment, either.
Mm. Your parents could let you decide to watch that. And I think that, to me, that's the one... I mean, that's just the weird thing. It's like, why one student
reading
that
this.
Book to, read... Not that that's, good or bad, but just odd. Just, an odd situation to
be in. It's just a bad choice, for whatever reason.
Maybe this was... And again, completely a speculation... Maybe there's more to the story as far as maybe he was doing comic books in general, gave and made everybody do a report on their own comic, possibly, and maybe this is the one she got.
Well, I also think there's it's sort of like to me it seems like there'd be a way if you wanted to include that in your curriculum because I mean people I know that are teachers when they want to add something to their curriculum
there's
a certain way that you have to go about.
Going through a process of having accepted.
Which doesn't mean, that doesn't make it a perfect process, but it's also sort of a process I think that's put there.
For a safeguard.
For some reason. Mm-hmm. But, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I think what's a bummer is that.
Yeah, you got fired.
This was a young teacher who made a bad decision, and in the story he was described as being one of the funner, more popular
he was
teachers.
Cool
because he was giving out porn to students
apparently. So it's
isn't it the same name as the guy from 3 Feet Under, Nate Fisher?
Oh, 6 Feet Under.
6 Feet Under.
It is, actually. Nate Fisher, yes.
Yeah.
It's a fake story.
Yeah, wait a second. Is this from The Onion?
Fucking Alan Ball wrote this.
Hey, Chris, come on over. We found Crank.
So, Chris, tell us a little bit about the 24-hour podcast and what kind of things we can look forward to at the 24-hour podcast.
Apparently lots of 40s.
Tom will be bringing a case of
40s. I'll do Edward 40 hands during it.
What are we doing? Is this Cobra 40? What is this?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of that?
Tom is
where you duct tape 240s to your hand, and you have to finish them before you can take them off. It's Edward 40 hands.
I now believe
that's
people...
That's a true alcoholics game.
Well, actually, I truly believe now people who ever once lived in Madison, they never, in their mind, leave college. No matter where they live. Everybody that I've heard... Actually, Tabor was on your show.
Yeah.
Talking about keg kickball.
Oh, yeah.
And then they were like, this sounds like some crazy fraternity college game. Really? He said? And we're like, of course it does.
Adults don't do that.
Adults, I don't play kickball. And yeah. And they definitely don't.
Well, there are kickball leagues. I don't know if there's kegball.
It's a comeback, but yeah, kegball.
He lives in Madison, correct?
I think so.
It's a Madison Wisconsin frame of mind.
It's preferred if you're going to play Edward 40 and to watch Roadhouse while you're
Roadhouse.
But anyway.
Back to the 24-hour podcast.
Sorry.
We're giving a glimpse on what's going to be happening.
It'll be pretty focused, telling you, man. It's going to be focused all the way through. Hour one, hour 24. Yeah. We're looking at Saturday through Sunday, October 6th through 7th, and it'll be from like 10 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Who else is going to be involved?
It's going to be all kinds of sweet.
We're looking at, we're looking at a lot, aren't we? Crankcast, Around Comics, John from Word Balloon is going to make it sometime when he can. Comic Book Queers. I don't know any other podcast people.
I don't think so.
I'm not entirely. I know I mentioned it to Van Osdall, but I'm
not sure if he's going
to.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But whatever. Anyway, so
bunch of people.
Bunch of those people. We got
phone-in guests.
We got some people coming in town, like Tabor. I'm trying to get Marshall down here if I can.
Wow, I'm going to meet Tabor.
Tabor, if we could dig him up, maybe Tabor 2 and watch.
I don't want to be there when that happens.
Watch all the 40s implode.
They show up and they both start saying the same things at the same time.
Oh, I got the quarter in!
I'm telling you, if those two ever meet, it's just going to be a big anticlimactic. Climactic thing.
I bet it's gonna be anticlimactic is a way better description.
We're gonna have a negative wave pressure thing going on.
And we're actually doing it an hour delay, right?
Yeah. We'll be starting at 10, and the first show will get posted like shortly after 11.
Right.
Like once it gets put together, we're doing it here at Dark Tower, thanks to Mark.
That's right.
Jamie.
Ding.
And,
nothing.
And this is what it's gonna be like.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of.
Are we gonna live feed that onto Stick Cam?
I don't know. Late hours.
Yeah,
it depends
late hours.
On what we can do. Probably the late hours would be more interesting to actually watch than anything.
Yeah. 10 a.m.
We're gonna be mumbling a lot. Yeah.
It's gonna be me.
I am gonna be. I'd like to start a pool. And we'll break it down into times to see who Norton kills first. Because Norton himself has admitted he will be the first one to murder somebody. And
I'm thinking it's me.
My bracket of the pool will be about 2 hours in.
2 hours?
Because that's 1 hour longer than they've ever went on the Crankcast.
I plan on taking cat naps, so hopefully I won't get too grouchy.
Nice.
But, we got... things happening. We might do weird things like, watch a movie.
Coke off a whore's ass.
Weird stuff.
Well, I was thinking more watch a movie and do some commentary, but
But the other, my thing's sweet too, huh?
Gotta keep us awake. We'll schedule that for 6.
Sweet.
All right. It's just odd things. I don't know. We kind of loosely planning it right now. And
I plan on reading graphic novels to people.
Out loud.
Out loud, yes.
And, at that point, we'll all decide to stop reading comics. Because when you hear a comic read out loud, you wonder... What am I doing?
Yeah. This is the dumbest sounding shit I ever... Yeah.
As long as you're doing the voices, it's fine.
Oh, yeah. I got voices, sound effects.
What would...
doing all sorts of stuff.
A dramatic,
I'll be the Foley artist.
Yeah.
A dramatic reading of, Cerebus or something. That'd be awesome.
Jonah Hex. That's for Jonah Hex. Volume 1.
A lot of
horses.
Side of beef I'm punching constantly.
Yeah, I think beef jerky and pizza are going to be overflowing.
It's going to be fun.
It will be fun.
Well, I'll be heading Garcia's. Give me some
burritos and some tostadas.
Hey, guys, let's not shoot our wad. And
okay.
We've got 24 fucking hours to fill in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm already tired.
If bandwidth allows, we might be able to do like an audio live cast during the like day part or whatever, you know, maybe.
Oh, all right.
Because I figure that would take less bandwidth, maybe.
Why are we recording it then? Damn it.
Because it's a podcast.
Just do it. No, live, Joe.
We need the ongoing record. All there's a website, 24-hour.
Oh, that's right.
24hourcomicpodcast.com.
And that's the number 24.
Number 24. It's sort of up there. There's not really anything on it, but, you know,
it's there.
Mostly
you
working.
Can look at it.
It exists.
So you can go there, you know, if you sign up, which people haven't signed up because I accidentally put a sign-up thing on the front, like, a register thing on the front. But I figured we could actually make some use for it, and we'll notify you when it's coming up. Just a reminder.
Sure.
Like email.
A little spam.
Stuff like that.
A little spam mail.
Yeah.
Reminder.
You know.
Send us a cashier's check for $5,000.
We should start now asking people to, like, send us if you'd like to donate food. You can, like, order us pizzas and lobster.
Like 75 fucking pizzas.
Emails.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Email.
Email.
As Mike put it, this is Chicago's pizza country.
That's right.
That's what we just got right here.
Exactly.
So feel free. But
and they have a website you can order.
Sweet. God, we're horse.
Wait a minute. What am I doing? All right. Well, thanks.
So let's end this.
All righty.
All right. Next story. There's been an...
a break in the... I don't know.
There's been a director attached to the Justice League movie. It is George Miller, best known as being the director of Happy Feet.
Mad Max. Let's not forget he was involved with those, I believe.
Well, so why did they mention Happy Feet, not Mad Max?
Because it made the most money.
Yeah, it made the most money.
And it came out 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. So apparently Warner Brothers is so excited about this film that they are even putting the Superman Returns sequel on hold. So
this is like a recipe for disaster for a movie.
I mean, just a disaster.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, it's not going to be, Batman's not going to be played by Christian Bale. Superman's not going to be played by, Brandon Routh. So, it's going to be odd.
Straight to video, baby.
Straight to video.
Check out that JLA pilot from 1997 if you want to see what it could potentially
be. Oh, good lord.
All types of
Thoughts. Let's hope for the best, though.
All right, well, the next one is a story, kind of, that Sal brought to my attention.
All right, sweet.
It is kind of a story.
First of all, I'm going to totally cast spells on everybody here.
Okay, first off, I want to say this is
really... La, 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 la.
It's, I'm sure it could upset someone. I didn't bring this up because
it's not the
intent
of the story.
Yeah, it's not the intent to make fun of anyone's religion more so than any other.
Don't give this segment to any pagans or daughters of pagans.
Yeah. But I just thought it was funny that this happened. And basically, I got the email from Boom Studios today. And I'm just going to read it. It said, since announcing Salem, a 5-issue series written by Chris Morgan and Kevin Wall, shipping this November, we here at Boom Studios have been inundated with a tremendous tremendous positive responses for the most part. Unfortunately, we have also received a number of alarmed reactions from the pagan community. To address their concerns, Chris and Kevin have written the following letter. To all concerned parties, we agree that a comic book that asserts pagans are evil and destructive might well be considered insensitive, offensive, and even slanderous. However, Salem, Queen of Thorns is not that book. We appreciate your criticisms, but feel they are based on mistaken understanding of the true context of our story. In Salem, the religious authorities are an evil force that persecutes innocents in the witch trials. They aren't celebrated in any way and are, in fact, major villains. Our protagonist, Elias Hook, is a reformed member of the church who carries a heavy burden of guilt for the evil he performed for them in ignorance, and his quest to redeem himself is one of his main motivations. More importantly, one of our chief characters, Hannah Foster, is a healer accused of witchcraft. She is in no way the demonized villain of your piece. Rather, she is one of the key heroes of a noble journey to combat the evil and save the world. We welcome your opinions and realize that when all is said and done, you may still disagree with what we feel to be a positive depiction of pagans and a strong pro-tolerance theme in Salem. But we respectfully request that you base such judgment on the content of the work itself rather than incorrect assumptions and incomplete information. Because you are concerned about one thing, prejudice in all forms is an ugly thing. And then they attach...
And P.S. Meet me with your brooms at the graveyard and we'll duel spells.
I just think it's...
I just was amazed.
Yeah.
It's like... How many emails could they have possibly gotten? Okay. I mean, they announced the book. They didn't. It yeah. hasn't even been out yet.
If you're a pagan, send us an email.
But what's funny is that now Salem Queen of Thorns has just shot up the Diamond 300 list because I'm checking this out.
But I'll be thinking about it.
Now, the other thing that was included...
Did they set out to create a positive depiction of pagans? Because that seems to me to be perhaps an afterthought.
They included in the in the email the original email by the person that was concerned with the depiction. And I'd like to read a little bit of that.
Wait for his name!
I am an avid comic reader... And also,
Tom's
a pagan.
On the floor.
I have been on this path for many years, and my family and I have fought off hate, bigotry, and verbal abuse due to the large quantity of misinformation about the craft. To think I would be safe from this sort
like
of
it
thing
works.
In my own genre of pop culture. I guess I was wrong because apparently you are publishing a comic named Salem, Queen of Thorns, which demonized witches and adds further justification to their torturing and death. Did you know that the Dark Ages, 9 million people, mostly women and some children, were accused, tortured, and killed because of lies and misinformation spread by the church? These women were midwives, healers, and herbalists. All of these people were tortured into saying things that were not true. They were told what to say by witch hunters. Ever hear of the witch's hammer? It was a book comprised of methods to identify, interrogate, torture, prosecute, and finally kill a witch. For in the Bible it says, "Thou not suffer a witch to live."
If she floats, she's a witch.
Would you write a comic putting the Jews of a Holocaust in a negative light? What about the slaves of the South? They practice, I can't even pronounce that.
Voodoo
word.
Rituals.
Oh, is that what it's supposed to be? To scare away slave traders from abducting them. But of course, everyone has enough compassion to not cause further distress to those who have suffered. I and other pagans alike are trying to dispel ignorance and create a more tolerant world to accept our beliefs, and right now you are creating an obstacle to that. I would look out for more pagan activists and lobbyists to get involved and speak out against this assault to our faith.
Seriously?
This project was written in poor taste and is offensive to my brothers and sisters of the craft. Please take this into consideration when making such a decision. Regretfully yours,
Ambrosia!
I just think this is... If you're a pagan, email us so we know you're listening.
Now I have read books on paganism. I mean, I've actually studied. I've read like books on Wicca and paganism and stuff. And I have nothing
about
against
pagans, right?
I have nothing. I mean, it's like I don't.
It's like saying you have something bad to say about Santa Claus, right? I mean, come on.
I'm completely neutral towards pagans.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
My cousin is a warlock, and he's a cool guy.
I just think, and I'm sure somebody would be offended by this, but I think you're treading in dangerous water when you're comparing yourself Jews in the Holocaust and slaves in the South.
First of all, slaves were in the South. Slaves were all over the fucking country.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I just thought I was absolutely right on that, though. I mean, there's four of us here. By law of averages, if I truly believe if pagans were to be considered a true minority, law of averages would say one of the four of us would know a few, right?
Yeah, at least
I don't know any pagans. You're a pagan?
No.
You're a pagan.
Do you know anybody who hates pagans?
No, but yeah, I know.
Part of the Heroes Click Saturday?
No.
Do you know anyone who hates pagans?
Not that I know of.
Do you know anyone who hates pagans?
Actively? No.
Actively seeking out opportunities.
Well, I think I
used to work with a pagan. So
how many people know?
Does she have cool warts?
How many people know that there's...
Made some great tea.
Yeah.
That they even exist. Like, you have to know someone exists before.
Yeah, let me tell my grandfather, and we'll see how he feels. If we can judge whether or not.
If I wrote a really, horrifying story about the Easter Bunny killing people with
a
hammer.
Catholic.
No,
more people know about the Easter Bunny, though.
But that's what I mean. It's like. I understand maybe their sensitivity because of what they believe in, and that's fine. I have nothing against what you ever want to believe in. Whatever you want to believe in, that's great.
Hey,
no problem. Yeah, no problem with that.
Read the book first.
That's part of it, but it's like in a book with witches, you expect like magic, right?
Right.
Like,
how do they feel about Halloween? Shouldn't they be tackling Halloween first?
It's a bigger issue.
Yeah, isn't it?
Boom Studios.
Yeah,
circulation, a couple thousand.
Is this the first, book with witches?
No. Well, whoever. Ambrosia has probably been fighting the power for a good couple years
right,
now.
Well, more all power right. to her, or he or her.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I'm not sure Ambrosia.
Metrosexual.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
A woman.
But I just thought it was amazing that they would write a press release in response to this.
It's good for everyone.
How many emails did they get?
It's good for them. Look,
at least
would
two.
We have talked about Salem before the book?
No, I never would have mentioned
it. It works for the pagans too, because now
we're hypersensitive to pagans.
Yeah, now all of a sudden
plight.
We got to go back and edit out all the times I ripped on witches and warlocks. Yeah.
The shroud of secrecy has been lifted over Broom and pagans.
Yeah, I'm cool with pretend shit.
I went to Catholic school. I'm also cool with
pretend shit. We were altar boys. Tom and I were altar boys. We're all over the pretend shit.
So much about both
we'll of pretend
you.
As the day is long, man.
I'll ring a bell, do it.
I'll light mad candles.
All right, well, I tell you what, let's wrap up on that note. That'll take care of Wired Wire coming news.
Abracadabra!
That means it is time for Top of the Stack.
Top of the Stack.
That's right, it's time for Top of the Stack, our chance to let you, the listener, know what we, the panel, have been reading for the last week. And Top of the Stack is sponsored by Ape Entertainment. Welcome to Autumn's Grove, a quaint little town where your fears manifest, then devour you whole. Only a few people are willing to face the madness lurking behind the facade, and not all of them will survive. Available for pre-order now is Sullen Grey, the miniseries from Joshua Ngageway and Drew Roush, artist of SLG's Haunted Mansion and Tokyo Pop's The Dark Goodbye, all in an uncensored trade. To find out how you can pre-order your copy of Sullen Grey, the trade paperback, for 50% off the cover price, and receive a free original sketch from series artist Drew Roush, go to apecomics.com. Half price and a free sketch? There's no better bargain in comics. For previews of Sullen Grey and tons of other ape goodness, visit our friends at apecomics.com.
I would like to say that for all my brothers and sisters who lurk behind facades, this is that I'm not down with this book. Because I think it's going to paint people who lurk behind facades in a negative light.
Very bad light.
Did you realize in the Middle Ages, over 9 million people that wore masks?
That lurked behind facades?
You guys are so bad.
Tom, all they did was mow the grass, really. They were persecuted.
Tom, what is your top of the stack?
My top of the stack is the world's most unlikable superhero.
Ambrosia.
The irredeemable Ant-Man. Written by Robert Kirkman. Penciled by Phil Hester with inks by our favorite Andy Parks. This is the last issue of the irredeemable Ant-Man. It's
sad.
Issue 12. Yeah, a little sad. This is the final issue, and actually my favorite issue of the entire run so far. If you don't know anything about the irredeemable Ant-Man, it was a new character, Eric O'Grady, has taken over the mantle of Ant-Man, and he is an asshole. the main theme of the book is him being a dick. He steals the outfit from his friend, who he pushes into the way of danger. He sleeps with that guy's girlfriend at his funeral.
On his grave.
Wow. He sits and watches women while they shower, and he's just sort of generally an unlikable guy. But
he only does good things.
There's a comic book about me.
So he can get his...
It's Scotty's life story. Yeah. Scotty's tiny. He can shrink down and watch.
Except I'm giant. That's what it is. I just sit on this edge of the shower and girls scream, "What are you doing here?"
What? You can see me?
I'm looking at your puss.
You're LARPing. You're standing with your arms over
I'm lurking behind my facade.
Yeah. 9 million peeping Toms died. By the end of this issue, though, I feel you can kind of see that the irredeemable Ant-Man's a little bit redeemable. One of the big parts of it is that the girlfriend of his ex-best friend, he got pregnant when he slept with her. And they sort of have a confrontation. He'd been on the run from S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while, and they finally caught him, and he lied his way out of getting into trouble so that he looks like a hero, so he was perfectly fine. So she comes to him, and she wants to have another chance with him, and he tells her, you know, no, I won't do it. But the best part is the reason why he does it is, like, for the first time in the series, he doesn't do it necessarily for himself. He says he doesn't want the kid to grow up to be like him, or because he's just a fuck-up, and that he doesn't want to subject anyone to his own bullshit. And later on, he met this other girl while he was pretending to be the slaying mantis. for a while. He was working with a damage control and pretending to be another character. And he sort of fell in love with this other girl, and he went back to her. The big turning point of this issue is that S.H.I.E.L.D. can't find anyone else to use the Ant-Man suit well, so they're just like, well, you can use it. And they give him an opportunity to join the Avengers with the Avengers Initiative. And he says, well, this is my chance to, you know...
Redeem myself.
So he tells the girl that he loves, he's like, well, I have to go do this. And she gives him a year. And what I really liked about this was I've seen a lot of people sort of talk about how it's hard to follow a character who's really sort of an asshole. And the way I think about it is it's sort of a modern twist on the Spider-Man story because, well, Spider-Man did it all within, 15 pages, Peter wants to get laid, so, he tries to get money for a car. And when does he learn his lesson? When his fucking uncle gets shot is when he's like, oh, shit, I've been a dick, It just took Eric 12 issues to get to that moment where he's like, oh, I'm an ass,
Right.
This is, my chance to sort of redeem myself. And it's played up for laughs. It's a very funny book. There's even a nice moment at the end that I didn't quite piece together until I thought about that Spider-Man comparison where he swings by Spider-Man fighting somebody, and he thinks, "Oh, I'll help him out." And then he goes, "Ah, whatever. He's got it covered." And then he just goes on because it's easier for him. So he's not totally redeemed yet, but you can see if you've read all the issues that.
He's working on it.
It's actually kind of nice to not have this, just add water, ready-made hero. He's actually having to learn how to become a hero.
Well, it's
because he's
like
most of the rest of us.
So, the way people think about Peter Parker as Spider-Man is that, he's the average guy who his problems come from the fact that the world is kind of shitty. The world does, you got to pay rent, you got to juggle girls, you have an aunt who's on the brink of death for 40 years that you constantly have to be saving.
She's 205.
But Ant-Man sort of played funnier because it's like, here's this guy who the world hasn't really been shitty to him, but just his own nature puts himself into bad positions, but then also saves him. He's sort of like this modern twist on that Peter Parker story, because he makes his own world shitty and then has to figure out his own way to get out of it, which I thought was funnier. It's funnier than Spider-Man's been in a while, I would say. And almost weirdly more believable, getting a girl pregnant or that seems more, and then instead of Aunt May getting shot for the 90th time or being in a deathbed, I just thought it was funny. Yeah, almost dead. It's funnier and it even though it's played to be ridiculous, there's actual moments where you're like, I've done that. I've dicked over a friend to get something, Or, I've slept with a girl just to get, because I just wanted to sleep with her.
Even though she was ugly.
Yeah, exactly.
Scotty just got this faraway look in his eyes.
Yeah, he's
I was thinking about fucking girls.
Yeah,
a lot of those times,
This nostalgic look in Scotty's eyes.
Or, taking money that isn't necessarily yours. Because everyone, when you're young, you do stupid shit, So it's...
sweet.
Nope. Yeah, totally awesome stuff. Yeah, Scotty stole my wallet earlier tonight.
Fucking sweet.
I thought he was a really identifiable character, actually.
So it's probably not the last.
He's going to be in Avengers Initiative.
He is.
Where he's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. Not the last of Eric O'Grady.
That's the Bendis written one.
No.
Dan Slott.
Oh, it's the Slott one.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
The good Avengers.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking Mighty Avengers.
Thinking X Avengers.
I get all in on the order, which is really good. I get them all confused.
Yeah.
Mr. Young, what you got this week?
Girls.
I'm still thinking about that. Fucking people.
Fucking chicks.
People.
What, stealing wallets?
Babes and stealing cash.
You can't have your iPhone be your top of the stack for 2 weeks in a row.
No, I can't. Damn it. But the content on my iPhone. No.
Pick Ant-Man.
You're trying to do your spells on me, Tom Brogia. I read the ten Bendis Daredevil trades and the first Brubaker Daredevil trade.
Jesus Christ, man.
So pretty much that storyline.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
New X-Men coming out on time.
I really, really enjoyed that story for a superhero story. I'm not usually that overly into superhero
stuff. How would you have reacted to that story if you had read it over 4 years?
Oh, I probably... Well, yeah, I mean, it's a hard question to ask because I wouldn't have.
Exactly.
I mean,
he doesn't read that way.
No. Yeah, I mean,
I enjoyed it, but there were definitely times in that series was like, okay, I want to see.
Oh, sure. I mean, but happen. I mean that to me is a tried and true example of why some books should just go straight to a graphic novel trade paperback form, because those stories were not single issue stories.
No, it was really pretty epic.
Each trade is its own story, which makes it, you know, for somebody reading it in trade for the first time, very enjoyable. It moves very quickly. The trades seem, I mean, that's why I was able to read so many so fast, because they move very quickly. They don't have to start and stop. So there's a momentum reading through them that you gain by not having to start and stop at beginnings and ends of issues. It really flows together nicely. the general, you know, plot point of the whole issue or the whole story, even into Brubaker's first trade, which was just kind of wrapping up what Bendis had got him into, but was, you know, somebody outing Daredevil, or outing Matt Murdock as Daredevil, and
came out years and years
ago. Matt Murdock just trying to keep it in the box and trying to put it back in there, and but not really at times, you know, just but just kind of the a little bit more about Matt Murdock than Daredevil, and just kind of almost what the repercussions of being Daredevil has done to him and his life. And you know, you get some cool Kingpin moments and Bullseye's thrown in there every now and then. Just I think just to remind you that he's a character in the world, I think. I mean,
it's still a superhero book.
Yeah. But yeah, for the most
part, whenever you're going to totally break Daredevil as a character, you have to have Bullseye in there somewhere. Yeah. Because he's always the character. He and Kingpin are always the ones that
stabbing
that
chicks.
That push him to the edge.
Throwing cards.
Yeah, killing girlfriends.
The only part of it that I didn't actually understand a whole lot, I don't know if it was they just forgot to deal with it, or maybe I missed it. When I started the run, Kingpin was blind, as you know, just like Matt Murdock, and then he gets fucking shanked by his crew. They turn on him and shank him, and then he goes. He's like in a coma for a while or something. He's almost dead, and he's off out of the country. And when he comes back, nah, he's not blind. He's just not blind anymore.
He lost
foreign eye transplants.
He lost a sense of taste.
Yeah, didn't we talk about this last week?
Yeah, I think you mentioned.
Did we?
Yeah, you mentioned it last week.
Well, leave me alone.
Still hasn't been answered.
I have no
He's
answer
waiting
for you.
Ben to send him an answer.
Yeah. We're waiting for the answer.
Brendan,
I don't know.
Was Daredevil my top of the stack?
Yeah,
last
you had
week?
Read like 9 of the trades last week.
Oh, okay.
And you finished
I finished them. So by the time, like, that stuff happened, and
now deja vu. Yeah. It's deja vu if you've been.
I'll just. We could just.
Whatever.
Cut in last
no,
week.
You'll keep this fucking rolling.
Never cut.
But
there is no off switch.
I did enjoy the last Bendis trade where, spoilers, whatever that fuck, you know. By the time you get to the last Bendis trade, obviously the whole shit's falling apart. And he ends up going to jail. Mm. The FBI, the Kingpin offers up a deal and says, which... Part of me was like, man, this is weird. The Kingpin offers up a deal. Let me go free, and I'll give you all the information you want on Matt Murdock. And this overambitious FBI guy says, yeah, we'll do it. But it's weird, because they didn't have a case against the Kingpin, right?
Well, he was in jail at the time.
No. If you remember on that last one, they said... We have no proof on him. He was basically just waiting trial. They had no proof whatsoever. No, they were not going to be able to put him away. Yet he offered up this deal because he wanted to be done. He wanted them to leave him alone.
Yeah.
So he wanted to be done, yet they had no proof on him anyway. So he wouldn't have went to jail. At this point they were just keeping him until they could try to put something together, but that time was running out. So he says, I'll give you up, and of course they take the deal. So I'm thinking, well, for the FBI, it's smart. For Kingpin, it was just, to me, like a weird device. You know, like, we need Kingpin to threaten it. Had they had some proof, that I think that would have made it a little bit...
I'd have to go back, and honestly, I'd have to go back and read it. But
anyway, so he ends up giving him up. They figure out that he's Daredevil, and in the process, Kingpin makes one mistake and...
one of the things that he did after his deal, he wasn't thinking, and that actually gets him really arrested and convicted.
Comes back to bite him in the ass.
Matt Murdock's in jail, and then Brubaker takes over in his first arc, and it's basically just dealing with all that. There's another daredevil running around the city while Murdock's in prison. Murdock is like a just fucking
lunatic.
Yeah, badass. Because right out of the gate, Foggy gets killed. And you're kind of like, oh, that's crazy stuff, you know. And then
is that how you reacted?
Yeah, I was like, that's crazy.
You say that out loud when you read it.
Casey's like, what? And I said, that's crazy, bitch.
Foggy just died.
Yeah.
Who the fuck's Foggy?
Brubaker's first arc was awesome. It was the devil in Cell Block D.
Something like that. Yeah. So, it was really cool. I mean, seeing Matt Murdock just kind of lose his shit and just really just start beating the shit out of everybody in prison and not taking anything was pretty cool. And, of course, Kingpin's in there. And so it's just kind of a whole they wouldn't let him out on bail. They wouldn't let him stay in. You know, they put him in Gen Pop, and they kind of wanted
him all
to...
Even though he's blind.
Yeah, they all wanted him to kill each other, basically. And at the end, you know, I won't ruin it at the end, because there is a... For those who haven't read
it's a great end.
There's a little cool twist that you may or may not see coming. But it was a cool little twist at the end. So, the Brubaker, the first trade in the Brubaker run on Daredevil was equally as good to me, in keeping with the whole feel and tone that I think Bendis set with Daredevil. Because I read the Daredevil that started with the Marvel Knights with Kevin Smith, and I read some of those, and I enjoyed that, but that was still a pretty straight up superhero. Yep. You know, your kind of typical superhero tale, and to be able to read through this whole tale up until Brubaker's trade was cool to see it held in a different light. Though at times you're like, Murdoch's fucking sociopath, you know what I mean? Like,
the best Daredevil stories have always been that way. It's like him dealing with the pressure of everything, and because I mean it's rare in comics that you see that happen much. It's like most superhero books, it's just like they're running around, they do this, they go move to the next adventure and galactic space war, and it's never about dealing with the actual
right. It's all situational. It's not character based. It's all.
And Matt Murdock is really a pretty he's a very complex character, because he's very selfish in a lot of ways, but he's very selfless at the same time, and how he protects Hell's Kitchen. But I mean, you see that through that entire run, and really that character, probably going back to the Frank Miller days, is that he's always just trying to keep his life tied together with shoestrings, and his dealings with women, which it comes into this.
I mean, thinking back on I've been reading Daredevil since before Frank Miller's initial run on it, and it's like Matt Murdock's not a particularly likable character.
That's why I said he's a sociopath. Yeah.
He's doing illegal and immoral stuff, being a lawyer. And
that to me, I thought, and they deal with that throughout this whole storyline, where they have Strange and Reed and Peter Parker and Luke Cage come up to him and go,
"What?
Hey, man, you fucking dick!
You're losing it."
No, they're like, "You're a dick, man, because you go in and you claim that you're the kingpin of Hell's Kitchen, so you push all the crime out to us." You know what I mean? So he's like, They're basically saying, like, yeah, you're making it all good for your little fucking couple blocks.
Right.
You know? And he's like, yeah, shut the fuck up. Right? Get out of here. I am making it good for my... You deal with it. Push him and push him and push him. And they're making the point that you could, you only push somebody to another area, right? I mean,
you're not actually...
You get the drug dealers off
problem.
This corner, you're just going to fucking it. Double it up on the next corner. Right.
I just like the idea of a lawyer who has to completely lie constantly... And pretty much any time you see him in a lawyer situation, is committing perjury,
right?
Is lying, it's really not only illegal but pretty immoral. To put yourself in that position of being
in 1960s Marvel, it was kind of cool to have a lawyer who's a superhero,
established,
who can tell if you're lying because he can hear your heartbeat. All of a sudden, in 2000s comics, it's like now I commend Marvel and Bendis and this group that have kind of addressed that and say, you know what, he's actually kind of screwed up.
Well, I think the thing that makes me dislike him as a character the most is how poorly he does treat Foggy, and how selfish he is with all this stuff. How anybody in his life, really? Yeah. How
it's always like, I'm Daredevil. You don't you know how hard everything is for me?
Yeah.
Like,
I gotta put on the costume. I'm so rich and stuff, but that's hard work. You know.
Every relationship that he's had.
The women, obviously. I mean, I think the women thing seems to be just the same story over and over. It just seems to be a different name because they always find a way to kill her.
Sooner or later.
But yeah, the Foggy thing.
I forget that he's married.
Yeah. The Foggy thing was the one.
So does Murdoch.
Yeah, Foggy. The Foggy thing was kind of was the most annoying as far as what made him unlikable as a character to me, because he just over and over. I mean, everybody has one of those friends, right? That you're just like, who the fuck do you think I am? Yeah. Go get a job.
Well, he's always playing angles, you know, and like Foggy's the way for him to like do that to like hedge his bets on like how he's going to handle something or how he's going to deal with, you know, what's going on.
Yeah.
He's
so
a dick.
He is a little bit of a bitch.
Mr. Salazar?
I can't disagree.
Ripclaw! Now that we've just boiled down 80 issues of Daredevil,
next month.
Surprisingly enough, to myself more than anyone,
Ripclaw!
I picked Ripclaw pilot season number one.
Oh, he's jerking off the tits.
And, Jesus.
Sorry about that.
And,
can't give that to a 14-year-old.
I didn't know a whole lot about Ripclaw. I had read some of the early Cyber Force stuff, but to me it was always just a Wolverine ripoff character, and he still is, really. But I really enjoyed this issue anyway. It's written by Jason Aaron, art by George or Jorge Lucas.
I would say Jorge.
Jorge.
Yeah.
And cover by Tony Moore. It's really kind of just a good Wolverine story, but with a different guy. What I liked about it was it kind of added a twist to this character, as far as I know, because I didn't know that much about him. But basically, he's driven by ghosts.
Right.
He's American Indian of some sort. They've never made it clear what kind or anything.
He's probably a pagan.
He might be pagan. No, but he's American Indian, and he has some sort of connection to the spirit world. He's also this extremely highly trained warrior guy with cybernetic claw hands and, I don't know, crazy shit like
that.
A bunch
of stuff that goes together well, like good, like crackers and soup.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And but he's in this issue, like I said, I don't know much about this character, but in this issue, basically you learn that he is driven by these spirits to do their bidding. They're sort of driving him nuts unless he does what they want. And this particular issue, he walks into a bar in Japan asking for the boss of this Yakuza gang. Pretty typical. Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty typical
story.
When
you said Japan, I was like, how many more minutes till it says Yakuza?
And instantly there's like a huge fight, you know, obviously. And basically the story goes on that he is trying to get to this boss.
Is
and
he
has
fighting
to go,
the Yakuza?
Yeah. He has to get through, and it's sort of like a video game where he has to get through like different levels of this lair to get to this guy finally. And so it's very tip. I mean, it's extremely. The interesting thing was,
He better have tits at the end of this or something.
No, he probably kills, you know, I don't know, 500 people in this book.
Badass.
But you don't see him do it once.
Right.
Wow. You don't see one action scene in the book. They keep cutting away right at the moment he's going to get into a fight to, like, the boss, you know, talking about him.
That's
why is he, you know, who is it? Yeah, it was kind of neat. I enjoyed that aspect of it.
Just how many times can you watch
it? And then at the end of it, when he finally does get to this boss, and the whole way he's talking to this spirit, who was a guy that worked for this Yakuza boss.
Okay.
And was killed by him.
Right.
And so the whole way you're...
As always, I mean...
Yeah, well, here's the interesting thing. The whole way you're just building... It's like, okay, he's going to kill this guy for this. At the end, it's not the case. And he even tells it, he's like, I'm not here to kill you.
I don't want
to I just have a message for you. And I don't really want to spoil it, but I guess I'll... spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers.
The message was that this guy used to work for the Yakuza boss... And his son, the Yakuza boss's son, who he's very proud of, and throughout the book you find out he's sort of mentoring him to become the leader, the next leader of this family, not his.
Well,
it's
Chris
the dead guy's. He banged his wife, and that was the message he sent him there to tell him that it was his wife. It's not his kid, and his whole dream of his continuing his bloodline is gone and all
Chris
that.
Chris has his ears covered. Chris sucks.
And then he does end up killing the guy anyway. But
he kills him?
Yeah, he does kill him in the end.
Yakuza,
but
right?
Very much. Lots of tattoos, guns, swords, all that kind of.
So I always think that American Indians and the Yakuza.
I don't know.
Go together well.
It was a really good Wolverine story to me. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what it was to me. It was just like
I think it actually sounds like a really cool concept, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm dissing it because of the Yakuza, but I hearing you talk about it sounds like a very cool concept. Almost wished it could have just been Group X.
Well, I mean,
labeled something, like some other organization.
I think he did it on purpose, though. I think Jason Aaron did it on purpose because the whole story was very typical.
Okay.
I mean, except it wasn't. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Like it was a very typical Wolverine-esque story where he's fighting Yakuza.
So you don't see him kill anyone.
Yeah, you don't see him kill anyone. He doesn't go there to actually kill this guy. He never went there with that intention whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not doing it for revenge because of someone that he doesn't even know this guy.
Right.
He's just like going. So
what
did
he kill
builds
him
up
for
the,
at the end then?
Because he's Red
just
Claw.
Did because he's yeah. I don't know. They
he's
didn't
the
even
best know. At what he does.
Yeah, he's
no,
the best.
It would be different.
No.
It would be I'm
awesomest at what I do.
I'm good at what I'm assigned to do.
Oh, the guy actually attacks him. That's why.
Oh,
the Yakuza boss attacks him.
He only
killed in self-defense throughout the entire book.
Really?
Which,
that's not Wolverine.
But I thought what Jason Aaron did was, I thought he sort of was making fun of the whole thing.
Right.
Like, the whole idea is Ripclaw is a Wolverine ripoff.
Right.
I mean, that was what the character was when he was initially designed.
Well, and maybe that's why he used the Yakuza. Maybe.
I think it was. I think he was
maybe
sort of,
he's making fun of the whole thing as well.
I think that's what he
Let's
was
Let's hope so,
doing.
So he doesn't think I'm a cock. For,
well.
I think it sounds like it, because it sounds like he's. It sounds like, you know, when you think you're stereotypical, like Wolverine versus Yakuza, all you think of is, like, page after page of him getting shot by Yakuza and him
and
killing
ninja
Yakuza.
Swords and
instead
shit.
Of, like, the cool part would be, like, stuff in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't, you know, how many times do you need to see him stab,
right.
like, a Japanese guy with tattoos?
Right. In a suit with a ninja sword.
Yeah. Only so many times.
Yeah.
But I was really surprised. Believe me, when I picked it up, I'm like, this is going to
Well, let's tell everybody, you came in the shop tonight and you said, hey, Mark, you got the Ripclaw, and I just started laughing because I figured, of course he's joking, looking for Ripclaw. And then he tells me, and then later Tom shows up, and
yeah, he said, this I picked Ripclaw, sitting on, and I laughed. And I was
no,
like,
the book was laying
pick?
On the table, and Tom goes, what the fuck is this?
I know. I had no I had the expectation this was going to suck. I figured I was going to not enjoy this book whatsoever. And I
bought,
was.
You ordered it?
Yes. And
Jason Aaron wins again. He always wins.
I was amazed. And the other thing about it, they're doing, in case you don't know, Top Cow is doing this whole pilot season thing. They got six different books that are coming out for the next 6 months or whatever, 6 weeks, I don't know. And you get to vote on it. You can go to topcow.com and vote on which ones you like.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the top two are going to get...
Kevin McGuire's doing one if you're Kevin McGuire.
Yeah, he's doing the next one, I believe. Velocity. Like I said, I had really no interest in the book. I was really surprised
I enjoyed
it.
Actually sounds
it was
good.
Pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, it was pretty damn good, so there
to
you
get
go.
Me from being to even acknowledge that a Ripclaw book might possibly
that's what I'm saying. It was I was amazed that I enjoyed it as much as
well,
I did.
Congrats.
Considering my mindset going into it. So there you go. That was my top of the stack.
Cool. Chris Brozier, what's your top of the stack?
Cast a spell on me.
Well,
I'm
Scotty.
Grandmaster Scotty. Yakuza Scotty.
Yakuza the master. Tattoos.
Professor Dumbleyoung.
It
was in there. I was digging for it.
Professor Dumbleyoung. I need a cigarette after that. I feel like I just had good sex.
All right, there's your...
triple threat.
There's your clever moment for the week.
For the month.
I'm actually pulling a Scotty this week. To be honest, I wasn't able to grab my comics this week, so I don't have a single issue to talk about. But I have been diving into the first Tom Strong trade.
Yeah.
It's Alan Moore and Chris Sprouse, and it's from Alan Moore's work for America's Best Comics, which was eventually acquired by Wildstorm, and that's why you'll see the stuff from DC now. But this is... who's the pulp hero. I think this is a very much a Doc Savage inspired.
It's inspired by all
it's
those
fantastic. It's also
adventure stories, sci-fi.
To me, it's like a Doc Savage mixed with Fantastic Four, mixed with Superman.
It's all the sort of origin stuff, and
it's got a talking ape.
A robot.
A pneumatic man, Newman.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Jason Pearson when he did those few little the one shots? Fucking sweet.
I just think it's like such a cool playground.
Yeah.
Visually, it's just like a.
It's all over the place. Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
It is so fun, and it starts out with Tom Strong's origin, which is a really fun story, and the whole Tom Strong fan club is how you get introduced to it.
Strong Men of America,
which if you in this world, if you join this fan club, you get sent the badge and the free comic book, which tells you Tom Strong's origin. And so it starts out with this kid who has just joined the Strong Men of America, and he's reading the fan club comic book, which is Tom Strong's origin. And so it cuts back and forth from the young kid who is engrossed in this comic book while all this crazy stuff is happening in this futuristic city that he lives in, and he's reading Tom Strong's origin the entire time, which is really messed up, but is still a lot of fun. The subsequent stories are it's just great Alan Moore, wacky adventure stuff.
I've always thought it was underrated as a comic you could hand to people a little bit, because I think it's basic enough, and it's sort of
accessible.
The things it's making fun of that I think, I've given it to friends who, have read comic books in the past or have seen comic book movies, that sort of the concepts it's making fun of, or hey, look how fun this could be. It sort of works. It also tells a pretty good story in the fact that each issue has its own theme, but there's things that carry over eventually, and you don't need to know all of them. Characters reappear. It has a talking ape, which I think is most comics should
have.
It's got
some phenomenal artists working on it. Chris Sprouse, Dave Gibbons, Arthur Adams. Some awesome art in it.
But what I love about it is that it feels like it has a rich history, and Moore writes that into it. But you jump right into it, and so it's a very continuity free.
Have you read any of the ones past that?
I am to the one where Tom has been sent to Pangea, the back in time into Pangea, and he has to fight Pangean, and he's just come back from that. Yeah. So it's that.
I also love the concept that people aren't called superheroes or supervillains; they're called science heroes and science villains. Because
that was Doc Savage. He was a science hero.
Yeah, because people have gotten stuff through science.
Science.
And it's there's a great one of my favorite stories. Blind from that is sort of a making fun of the DC multiverse, but also saying how cool it is, where they travel to a planet where there's a rabbit Tom Strong, on a planet filled with animals.
Right.
That was the thing I
liked, because it does poke fun at a lot of the things of comics that you can poke fun at, but it does it in a way that it's not like
it does it in a very fun nostalgic way that you feel like
it's
Moore's
like a
fun with it,
more of a love letter.
But
to
it also gives room
stuff,
for tons of artists and writers as the trades go on. Yeah. Different writers, I think Johns did a story. Brubaker, I've all done.
And Jason Pearson.
Jason Pearson did one,
The art.
It's
so pretty.
The trades at the beginning are mostly Alan Moore, but towards the end, you see a lot of other people take their sort of shots at that universe.
Because it's a wide open.
Yeah, you can
thing.
Do whatever you,
can do whatever
you want.
Anywhere you want to
go. The guy, whenever you read this, he's 100 years old. And so you have.
You can pick any time in his.
There's a great World War II story in there.
I think I remember when I picked up issue 13 of this, I had never read it before. I grabbed it off the rack and read it, and then I went, oh no, it was issue 23 and I remember because I'm like, oh shit, now I gotta go back, and I had to go back and get them all because it was so good. It was an issue where he's fighting he's fighting a guy on a skyscraper or something. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Left an impression though.
Oh, yeah, yeah, big impression. My memory is for shit. Yeah. But I just remember
that
I remember...
Not that you liked it, that you're like, I should do the rest of
them. I went back, and then I had to find all the rest of them and read them all, and I have a whole run of Tom Strong, because it is a fun book.
This is the first one, and once again, it's America's Best Comics. If you're interested, it's $14.99 U.S.
You can even get that at Quimby's in Chicago.
Well, really? Oh, yeah. Really?
Because they have every Alan Moore book.
You go to Quimby's?
Sometimes.
Is that that little Wicker Park?
Yeah.
Like I'm Cool crappy music place?
They don't let you
pagans hang out there.
I'll go there.
Yeah.
That's too cool for
$30
you
might.
No, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
Great.
Cool.
So Tom Strong. All right, that'll take care of Top of the Stack, and that means it's time to run down what's coming out this week in Future Stack. All right, from DC Comics, we have All-Star Batman and Robin, the Boy Wonder, number 7.
I thought that came out, it was supposed to come out last week. It was late again.
American Virgin, number 19. Astro City, The Dark Age, Book 2, number 4.
Hmm.
Batman, number 669.
69!
Nice.
Blue Beetle, number 19. Countdown, number 31, of course. Countdown to Adventure, number 2 of 8. Crossing Midnight, number 11. Deathblow, number 7. Green Arrow, year 1, number 5 of 6. So the penultimate issue of Andy Diggle and Jock's Green Arrow story. Looking forward to that. JSA Classified, number 43. Justice League of America, number 13. Who's taking over? Is that McDuffie?
Dwayne McDuffie.
Okay.
McDuffie. I think
we're looking forward to that. Spirit, number 10.
Teen Titans 51.
Yes, is that McKeever's first?
McKeever's first solo issue. I hope he doesn't torpedo that franchise.
Way to go, McKeever.
Way to go.
We have another Uncle Sam in the Freedom Fighters series, number 1
of 8.
Yeah,
I was going to say, you really like the first one. Yeah.
And Wonder Woman Annual number 1. They can put out an annual, but they can't get the series going on a regular schedule.
That's the completion of the original story arc.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, no, not Guggenheim. Heimberg.
I'm sorry.
From
Devil Memory sucks.
Yeah, it does. I drank it away, man.
Wonder Woman.
Drugs.
Devil's Dudes releasing G.I. Joe. Storm Shadow, number 4.
Diseased Hookers.
From Dynamite Entertainment. Army of Darkness.
Diamond's
from the Ashes.
Diamond's putting out previews. Exactly.
Wow.
Preview of previews.
It's the only book never to not be on time.
Mm-hmm. Gemstone Publishing's putting out Uncle Scrooge number 370.
Continuity on that is fucking impossible.
Why are you reading that?
Hey, it's Uncle Scrooge. You gotta love the
I
Uncle
can't
Scrooge.
Understand what's going on.
Image Comics, Astounding Wolfman number 3. The Brit number 2.
Ooh, I like the Brit.
Killing Girl number 2. And Savage Dragon number 132. And also, Scotty, just so you know, Walking Dead Volume 7 trade paperback's coming out.
Next week?
No.
The other, the number 6 just came out.
As usual, your list is way in the future.
We are spreading bad information.
That's from to ship on 9/26.
Okay. The last trade literally just came out.
Okay, well, like I forgot to say, some of these shipping dates may change.
What the fuck?
It'll be sweet if it does. Because
seriously?
Oh, jeez. Tom's breaking.
None of these are going to come out. Watch, next week I'm going to show up and have no books.
Oh, from Marvel Comics, Avengers Initiative number 6.
The third one on the list has sweet covers.
Cable Deadpool number 45. What cover is that, Scotty?
I don't know, but it's sweet.
Okay.
Captain America Chosen number 2 of 6. Criminal number 9. Daredevil Hell to Pay Volume 1 trade paperback.
What's Hell to Pay?
Hell's hell.
Wow. Fucking South swinging for the fence.
Immortal Iron Fist number 9. This is the second issue of the Iron Fist arc where they're doing the extra or intradimensional tournament, the
mixed martial arts tournament,
the MMA tournament.
It's weird that the regular issue and the annual is coming out the same week.
Yes,
next week. Hmm. Interesting.
Marvel Adventures Iron Man has sweet covers too.
Yeah, they're also done by Mr.
Iron Man number 22. Marvel Adventures Iron Man. Marvel Spotlight Thor.
Why did you read that?
I have
Who
no idea.
Who the fuck cares about Marvel Spotlight Thor?
Punisher Max.
Reading everything on the list.
I know.
Punisher Max, annual one, Submariner number 4, The Order number 3, Ultimate Fantastic Four number 46, Ultimate Spider-Man 114, and yeah, they'll take care of it. That's our.
Oh, that's lots of good
X-Men
stuff.
X-Men First Class number 4 is coming out. That is a really good book. I'm just going to focus
why do you
on
read that?
Book.
Tom, why'd you read it?
Because it was good.
Are you reading everything?
You read the fucking Thor Spotlight.
I like Thor.
Yeah, read the book. Why do you need to read a spotlight on it?
I need to know more about
Thor.
Yeah,
how much more do you need to know? Read the book. It's not in there.
I started rereading, reading the First Class, X-Men First Class.
It's good.
Yeah, I read the first one. I really enjoyed it. I actually emailed those guys, and they never responded to me.
Yeah, they're busy making more of them. It's on time.
Told them how much I enjoyed their work.
All right. Did you know that Roger Cruz?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that'll take care of future stacks. You want to skip over emails and get to our announcement and just push all the emails?
Sure.
All right.
We get into trouble.
Yep.
Pushing emails.
Well, we're pushing
emails. We're doing them all for the next show.
Thursday is going to be an all-email show, so lots of conversation off of topics and suggestions.
I wrote the Thor Spotlight, and why'd you diss me? I'm a pagan.
What, you don't like Asgardians?
I'm an Asnanork.
I'm an Asgardian.
All right, well, I tell you, we already talked about the 24-hour podcast, but we as Around Comics have a big announcement to make.
Yes!
And
it's not a stripper cast.
The show is done.
Well, we just finger bang strippers.
For
God,
I guess for a dramatic effect, we should say that this is the last
final Monday episode like this you'll ever hear.
You should just say we're stopping.
We're stopping completely.
We're quitting. This is it.
No, we're not stopping completely. We're going to still do a Monday episode and a Thursday episode, or that may change. But there'll be two episodes a week. We are changing what we're doing, though. We've decided to shake things up. We've been doing this in this format for
over a year now.
Yeah, over a year, and we all got a little burnout with
it. We're all starting to hate it.
Not burnout as much as
boring.
We've been
wanting to do other things.
It seems to like our conversations seem to open us up to want to talk about
other stuff,
other mediums.
Yeah. And we kind of always are forced not to, you know, to go back to comics only.
Right.
Yeah. And we're not always able to talk about some of the smaller stuff
right.
that we want to talk
mm-hmm.
about.
Because
we have to talk about these big, wide-sweeping topics
right. and everything. So basically what we're doing is the Monday episode is going to be a more of a magazine format, sort of pre-produced show. Chris is putting together a bunch of different contributors that are going to do different segments. It's going to be a lot of different things, but more... I mean, what people may like of the news segment, it will have a lot more different smaller stories in there and different topic discussions and different things that people will be talking about. A lot of different people are going to be contributing to it. I know Will Pfeiffer is going to be doing a little DVD review.
Jeremy Mullins is going to be doing hopefully a weekly webcomic mm-hmm. segment. We're going to hear from Dave Windorf is going to be a contributor.
Dave and I are going to, Dave's going to be doing a history lesson kind of thing about comics that I'm going to sit in on.
I have
Tom's doing.
I have the Answer Man.
The Answer Man.
Email me at Tom and Around Comics with your continuity questions about stuff. And if I don't know an answer, I'll just make one up that's funny.
And, I'll be doing
Scotty Young Guns.
Scotty Young Guns. just spotlighting artists that I maybe think that even if you have heard of them, a lot of people might not have, or just finding some of the nook and cranny artists around right. online and out in the world that just give a help get them out there and expose other people to them.
And each episode on Monday will be 1 hour. It's going to be held to that, so it's going to be a fast paced kind of wide variety look at the world of comics. Each episode will have a main feature, whether that's an interview or a brief roundtable discussion, and then the subsequent segments that we're going to cover manga, we're going to cover webcomics, we're going to cover DVD releases, new trade paperbacks, single issue releases. It's going to be 1 hour that you can listen to each week that's going to give you a really good overview of the world of comics.
And then our Thursday episode is going to be the roundtable still.
Mm-hmm. So don't worry, the roundtable is not going
the round
away.
Table is still,
everyone on the live cam is really freaking out. They're like, what the fuck?
The roundtable will still be there. We're going to change it a bit. We're going to open it up to more than just talking about comics or issues with comics or topics about comics.
Like Oprah.
It's going to be just more things that we enjoy.
Right. Movies,
TV,
music,
whatever.
Books.
News articles.
Entertainment.
Entertainment. Pop culture. We're going to try and keep it comic centric to some degree. But if we go off on something like My Name is Earl or whatever it may
we
be.
We can feel comfortable doing
talking
that.
About. Yeah. We don't have to try and stifle our own enthusiasm about different things because of it.
It'll truly almost go back to, I think,
our original idea.
Your original idea of modeling the show after Dinner for Five, which obviously most of the time being movie people would center around movies,
right?
But always
go into other
went
things.
Off into other things, and that was good. And because of the nature, obviously, we're all comic fans.
We're always going to talk about
comics.
Comic
books will always be there, and I think be always a pretty main thing. But it won't have to be
only.
And like you said, if we get off and Roadhouse comes up.
We can
talk about Patrick. Baby.
You don't know how many times we've edited Roadhouse
conversations.
Yeah,
amazing conversations.
Yeah. But all the famous bouncer.
Famous
bouncers.
It'll just give us the opportunity to talk about that much more and feel and not have to bring it back to comics.
Makes
always.
We can be lazier.
and we should remember. We should mention our.
Club.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Whoever came up with that idea, fucking genius.
Genius Scotty Young came up with the idea.
This is something I'm really excited about.
We're going to do every month. Every month we're going to do a club thing where you can participate, sort of. You can follow along what we're going to do. Basically, every month one of us, and we'll go in sort of a rotation, we'll pick a trade paperback, a movie, and a CD. Audio CD for everyone on the panel to read, watch, and listen to. And then at the end of the month, the Thursday episode for the end of the month, will be our review, our talking about those three things every month. So it should lead to some really interesting stuff because we all have different tastes. Mm-hmm. While we all have a lot of similar tastes in things and comics and that, we all have a lot of different tastes when it comes to films and music and whatever else. So it should lead to some really funny and interesting conversation and stuff. And I'm really looking forward to getting turned on to different music. That I don't know about, or different movies, and even different comics that I maybe have never read, or I haven't read in a long time, or whatever. So, I think that's going to be one of the funner parts of.
And
of
they
the
can
show.
Look for once a month for us. For our movie commentary,
we're gonna
exit over to Casa de
Scotty
fucking house.
Casa de Scotty. We're gonna do movie commentaries. We're gonna try and do those once a month, and it may either be a movie or it could be a TV show.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever
floats our boat. Basically, the bottom line is whatever floats our boat.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
I mean, I think
whatever we like to do.
Well, and I think a lot of the people that listen to us, I think they enjoy. More than anything, our conversation.
The banter.
And the banter between us and the fun we have. And
fuck you. So I listen for the news.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean?
I want to know what's happening with Boom and Wicked.
You can listen to the Monday episode. And
The Monday episode is going to boil all of that down and give it to you in...
So we're not losing anything. We're doing everything we did before and then some, and we're just changing some
and
things.
And we'll get to leave here.
We won't be... unfortunately, the only bad part is for you people that are on the video cam now, this is probably our last video broadcast because we'll be doing the shows we're only going to be doing one show on a Friday night. It'll be done probably before we can go online and do the video thing. So unfortunately that part's not going to happen now. But oh well, sorry.
So smoke them if you got them.
Smoke them if you got
them. Let's move on.
Well, I did want to mention one other thing, Tom.
Already.
Also, along with us doing that, we're doing it October, the first week of October will be the new shows. So this will be the last Monday episode, and Thursday will be the last Thursday episode like this. But also, we're switching over to a new website and a new forum. Around it'll be aroundcomics.com, but the website is going to be streamlined. It's more of a blog.
Right.
It's not going to have all the news and all the ancillary things that are
weird
on the site.
Everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot simpler, concentrating more on the show. There'll still be some stuff on there.
Very
know,
nice
about
design,
it.
By the way.
Thank you. And the forum is going to be all brand new. It's going to be faster, a lot more features on it. The bad part is you're going to have to re-register. Everybody's going to have to re-register, except you, Tom. And Scotty
awesome.
And Chris and me. I already registered us, but everybody else everybody else is going to have to. I couldn't justify the time it would take for me to transfer those databases.
For the fans?
Over.
Call Hank.
I just don't have the time to do it.
Yeah, what's Hank doing?
I don't know.
What's the intern doing?
So all the forum posts that are on the forum now are going to be gone. And everybody's going to have to re-register and set up your accounts and everything.
Change your names and fuck with everyone.
Yeah, there you go. You could opportunity to change your name if you want to, but yeah, so that's going to happen. But that'll happen in the first week of October. So there you go. That's our big announcements. Hope everybody sticks around because I think it's going to be that much better of a show than what we've already done.
It'd be fun.
And like I said, I'm really proud of what we've done over the last couple of years, but I think this is just going to be that much more fun for us and hopefully then more fun for the listeners. So there you go.
I don't want to be
All right. Sweet.
And
show's over, right?
No, I don't know. What are we doing now? Chris?
Outros and shit.
Well, in the meantime, you can join our friends of the program.
Go to aroundcomics.com where you can download and print our LCS Challenge flyer. Ask your comic shop manager. Let's not even read this because you can't do it anymore. We're not going to do it on the news site. We're done with that kind of stuff.
But you can still leave iTunes reviews.
Yeah, because if you do want to get on your computer and if you want to get on your computer and play with Chris's taint, you can with your keyboard
You'd
and
like
mouse.
You'd like to take Chris to a virtual massage parlor.
Yeah, to a virtual bathhouse. You may by going to iTunes and leaving a review. So thanks to those who have played with Chris's taint, like Lee Webb, Lord Flashheart. I always want to see
these are all Demon. The Australian
Wait,
people.
Hold, oh yeah. No!
You
I'm
got the wrong ones.
No! It's the right ones.
Well, thanks to everybody.
Really?
Start with NCID.
Okay, NCID.
Tesla Coil.
That's not on mine.
Tesla Coil, Japoy 13, and G. Schnabel.
Yep, thanks everybody.
Thank you all.
We'll get your name next time.
Yeah.
We'll try.
That's going to be a new thing on the show, too.
Are we going to keep the frapper?
Yeah, we'll keep the frapper. We'll have a little link to it somewhere. We do have some new frapper mappers this week. The Goot from San Antonio, Texas. He said, "The Goot shall rise again."
Brandon McCracken from Clarksville, Indiana. Yeah. Good job on the podcast.
Who's your buddy Phil?
And keep them coming.
Carl Petroff from Valparaiso, Indiana says, "Love the show, guys. I'm coming to the store next time in the city for sure."
And from J.M. Rinquit from Suzhou. Wow, Jiangsu, China. I'm listening, and I'm also drawing comics. He spams us with his website.
Yeah. Brian Washer from Jensen Beach, Florida, didn't have anything to say.
Thanks, Brian.
Crimson Dynamo from Paisley, Scotland. Iron Man is a dick.
Pixel Juice from Austin, Texas says, "Deep in the belly of the beast."
Devin Omega from, which is a cool name if that's your real name.
Yeah,
Devin Omega.
Who are you? Devin Omega.
Toronto, Ontario, Canada said, "Hey, Chris, Sal, Tom, and Scotty, the show is amazing."
And so are you, Devin Omega.
Yes.
And from Wagner Cordero. From Cordero.
You got
from,
fuck with the ones that
did. From Sao Leopoldo, Brazil. Love your show, guys.
I'm glad what he wrote wasn't complicated.
I know. I was getting scared. Oh, love your show, guys.
Canada, Brazil. Texas. China and Texas.
If you like, complicated histories and long stories, check out our wiki. Thanks to Dan C., who made our wiki site. It's all about the show. You can find out our top of the stacks in the past. You can find out why I stabbed Chris
twice
a year ago. Twice. Well, the second one's debatable. And you can check it out at aroundcomics.pbwiki.com.
And we are proud members of the Comics Podcast Network. You can find more great podcasts at comicspodcast.com.
Thank you again to Borders for sponsoring this episode. Sink your teeth into the story that introduced the world to Anita Blake, Vampire Hunter. Get your copy of Guilty Pleasures by Laurel K. Hamilton at your local Borders. Borders is your home for the tastiest fantasy novels. Find a store near you at borderstores.com.
We are proud to help support Scotty's CoCabot and the Hero Initiative.
And
Hero creates a financial safety net for yesterday's creators who need emergency medical aid, financial support, essentials for life, and an avenue back into paying work. It's a chance for all of us to give back something to the people who've given us so much enjoyment. I forgot there was a period coming. So much enjoyment. For more information, visit heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809.
That's the last time you have to read that, man.
Sweet.
We're not going to support
the Hero Initiative?
No, that's going to be all pre-done.
Yeah, that's right. We won't be doing live reads.
We're going to cut the announcements down on Fridays.
Wow. Sweet. Am I even going to need to show up?
We're going to do a show Circle Jerk.
Can I just send 25 minutes of like various
funny comments?
30-second comments that you can just plug in and just overlay them over.
Jeez, Tom was funny, but he didn't make much sense.
I'm warning you now because I have the Monday show, which is going to be the nice little fun show that's all clean and very very NPR on the Thursday shows. I'm gonna start just swearing like a sailor.
It's gonna be the sanctioned fights in Illinois.
You are
yeah. some fucking ass.
You are getting ready to see a whole different side of me.
Oh good lord!
It's gonna be. I'm gonna rain candy bars down on this.
Why have you been restraining yourself?
Because somebody's got to play straight man, Tom.
Oh, I see. You're like
if everybody's
extreme, like Laurel Hardy,
then there's no contract.
Zappo Marks?
Zappo.
Marks. Yeah, I'm Zappo. I'm the one that if without me as the clean palette, you two don't seem nearly as extreme.
Who are you?
Of the Marx Brothers?
Yeah.
Lawrence.
I'm the devil.
Lawrence, Devil Marx. The two brothers, no one.
The unknown Marx brothers.
Satan. I'm Devin Omega Marx.
They won't even bring me in the motherfucking papers.
Is there curly?
But that will be fun for me to kind of relax a little bit on
for all of us. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I didn't know you were so stressed out.
you see all the cuts on his arm?
That's why I wear long sleeves.
It's going to be a different thing, but I think it'll be a lot more enjoyable.
It's
going
to be fun.
I think they're just trying to get rid of me and you.
Yeah, is that why you wanted the theme song to be Hurt, the version done by Johnny Cash?
Oh.
I've hurt myself.
All right, well, folks, obviously, thank you for the last year of listening to this format of the show. We really hope that you like the new format. Next Monday, we'll be looking forward to hearing your comments on it. I want to thank Mark Beatty, as always, for hosting us here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles. That's not going to change. We'll be here just about every Friday night, we're at Casa de Young. For Tom Caters, Scotty Young.
Don't speak for me, asshole.
For Brian Salazar.
Me either.
I'm Chris Tornichman. Everyone have a fantastic couple days. We're going to be back again on Thursday to clean out the cupboards, go over listener emails, talk about a variety of topics, and get ready for the new format.
The debut of the Around Comics shit list. I just made that segment up. I'll just make that
shit
segment.
List. Who's on Tom's shit list?
In the meantime.
In between time.
We'll be everywhere in
and around. Ambrosia's Witch's Cauldron.
Oh, God.
And comics.
I love
Harry Potter.
I love the pagans.
I love the pagans.
Would like to suggest a topic? Send us your comments or are interested in becoming a panel member? Email us at info@aroundcomics.com or visit the Contact Us section of our website. Music for the show provided by the Podshow Podsafe Music Network. Music.podshow.com. Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and do not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Thank you for listening today, and remember to join us next time when the panel will change, but our mission will stay the same. bringing you the very best news, reviews, and opinions in and around comics. Around Comics is a Pipe Dream production. Copyright 2007, all rights reserved. Love you, baby. Yeah. Why you got my love and left me alone? Why you got my love alone? I know that you don't love me. Oh, baby, what is going on? Let me, oh, let me, baby, love you one more time.